recommendations to this division, I feel wholly inadequate to do this job. You know, there's just fewer and fewer rocks to look under because we've been here before. But I will say some good things about the recommendations. We've not accepted the governor's cuts to long-term care. We are not going with the pharmacy cut proposal. We are not accepting the governor's eligibility reductions. We are not using the health care access fund to balance the budget. We are asking for some greater efficiencies in our health care delivery system, and we are asking for increased collection efforts on the part of the Department of Human Services. I'm sure that everyone will not be happy with this recommendation. I am not happy with this recommendation. It's the best I could do. And it's better than the proposal we had presented to us, I believe. So with that, let's start going through the spreadsheet. And I'd like to just thank David Godfrey for all the work he's put in. He and I have been actually working on trying to figure out what to do since before the new year began. And a lot of long hours have gone into it. And I'll tell you one thing, it's a lot harder to put a budget together that cuts than it is one that spends.
Madam Chair, members, I'll just explain to you the handouts in front of you. You should have a change item spreadsheet that looks like this. Also, there should be a, and we'll walk through this in just a moment. You should also have a spreadsheet which says HHS omnibus budget proposals by appropriation, and that looks like this. It's a smaller spreadsheet width-wise. And this just contains the numbers that will be in the bill that you'll see later today. And then attached to this, on the back, I guess, is the federal TANF reserve balance. Unfortunately, there's a post-it note over the middle of it. But we'll get you a new one of those at tonight's meeting.
Oops.
And then finally, there's a healthcare access fund balance statement, and that's looks like this. I'll walk through the change item spreadsheet, and I'd just like to note a few things on it before we start. The proposals and change items will be in the left-hand column. The governor's budget recommendations are in the middle column, and the Senate recommendations are in the right column. I should say before we begin that the governor's budget recommendation, there's a omission, and it's a somewhat important one. The transitional Minnesota care for GAMC item, which saves about $50 million in 08-09, is not on the spreadsheet, and neither is the transfer from the healthcare access fund of $250 million. We'll get that corrected for tonight's meeting so you can see the appropriate, accurate side-by-side comparison.
We did not, I do not recommend adopting either of those recommendations, but normally we show everything that has been proposed to us on the tracking sheet.
Madam Chair, do we have a meeting tonight?
We are going to have a meeting tonight. If we adopt the spreadsheet this morning, the staff still needs to prepare language, and we will have a meeting to adopt that language this evening.
And we have it done, right?
So then, members, I'll go through the Senate column. And on line 3, I'll just direct your attention to the column under fiscal year 08-09, and it shows cuts of $205,180,000, and that was our target. And then you'll see below that the overall net change in spending for the other funds are in our division. The state government special revenue fund has a small $5.2 million increase in spending. Healthcare access fund has a small savings of $3.6 million. Federal TANF fund spending increased 50.6 million, and then finally some dedicated funds spending of 12.7 million. And you'll see also a summary of the Healthcare Access Fund and the federal TANF fund balance there on the first page. And we'll turn to page 2 and go item by item through the Department of Human Services, beginning on line 78. And actually, the subsequent 5 or 6 items are all federal compliance related. The first one is a child support assignment and distribution change for child support arrears. It is cost neutral in fiscal year 08-09 and then has a small cost of $242,000 in 10 and 11. On line 88 is a federal compliance item for medical assistant cost sharing limits. And I should also mention these are all governor recommendations. And the Senate has included this at a net cost of $18,000 in 08-09 from the general fund and a cost of $115,000 in 10 and 11. On line 101 is a federal compliance item related to Medicaid payments for providers. This was a cost-neutral item. However, the Senate is not including this in their bill. On line 112 is a federal compliance item for Medicaid targeted case management relocation services. This saves $18,000 in fiscal year 09 and saves $8,000 in 10 and 11. On line 119 is a federal compliance item for the county IGT and nursing home rate add-on and the IGT buyout. And this is a cost-neutral item in both 08, 09, and 10 and 11. On line 125 is a correction to a rider for the long-term homelessness initiative funding that was passed last session. And this doesn't have any cost. It just allows more flexibility to the department in how to use the money. On line 131 is an MFIB work bonus food support simplification item from the governor, and the Senate has not included this in the bill. On line 139 is a policy-only item for centers of excellence and experience. This is a governor's recommendation. The Senate is including part of this item, which is to have this department study this and make recommendations on how to go forward with this, but does not include the portion that allows the commissioner to designate the centers of excellence. On line 144 is a long-term care partnership medical assistance modification, small change to get the program in line with what other states are doing on inflation, and this has a small cost of $4,000 in 08-09. On line 149 is the governor's item that is new spending on American Indian Youth Treatment Centers grants for $2 million, and the Senate has not included that item here. On line 154 is the governor's administrative budget reduction, which the Senate has included here at a net savings of $3.5 million in 08 and 09. However, when you include the loss of federal funds to the agency that results from this cut, the loss is really $5.867 million. On line 160 are two special revenue items. The first, which begins on page 4, line 163, is a cancellation of account of $975,000, and the second one is transfer of the chemical dependency treatment fund balance of $2.5 million, and those were both governor recommendations. On line 167 is the governor's recommendation for past due collections for county payments for state-operated services, and that saves $2.2 million in 08-09 on a one-time basis. On line 172 is the county waiver overspending item. This is an item that the governor attempted to veto last year, but because there was still existing language that was not vetoed, went into effect. This was in the final bill last session, and it's being proposed to have that repaid back in fiscal year 09 because it's already been forgiven in the previous bill, and that saves $4.2 million, and the Senate has that item. On line 177 is an adjustment to spending in the Adoption Assistance Relative Custody Assistance Program. This is essentially the decreased spending to match the participation in the program, somewhat of a forecast change, even though the program's not forecasted. It's $997,000 savings in 08-09. On line 183 is the MFIB work support grants for counties item. This is from Senate bill, Senate file 3329, Senator Berglund bill, and this spends TANF funds of just over $6 million in 08-09. On line 191 is the repeal of the MFIB family cap, spending $1.3 million in TANF funds in 08-09 and $6.5 million in 10-11. On line 197 is Senator Rosenbill, Senate file 3113, Community Action Grants Funds for Auto Repairs and Purchases. And this is an appropriation of $1.5 million, and it's ongoing. On line 203 is the governor's item to refinance TANF. The Senate is only accepting portions of this item that are related to Senate file 2564, which is the excess MOE bill that's already passed the floor. And it's being tracked here for savings to the general fund of $8.8 million in 08-09. On page 5, line 216, is an item to return MFIB cash spending to 2007 end-of-session level. And this creates savings in the general fund of $32.8 million. And on line 223 is a basic sliding fee child care item which accelerates the surplus, accelerates funding from the child care development fund of the surplus dollars in the fund. And so those surplus dollars replace general fund dollars that are forecasted to be spent, and that saves $9.2 million. On line 230 is to eliminate the Wilmer meth treatment activity. This is a governor's item, and the Senate picked this one up. The only difference is that the governor redirects $150,000 in fiscal year 09 to meth grant programs, and the Senate doesn't do that in fiscal year 09, but waits till fiscal year 10 to redirect that money to those grant programs.
So this will provide base funding for those pilot projects that have not been in the base in the past.
Next on line 237 is a county grant payment delay. This is a governor's recommendation. Senate has accepted this at $7.7 million of savings in fiscal year 09. On line 245 is the governor's inpatient hospital delay recommendation. The Senate includes this at the same level of savings of just over $10 million in 08-09. On line 253 is increased governor's recommendation to increase the managed care withhold. And the Senate includes this, but in a slightly different manner. The withhold, instead of being increased from 5% to 7%, as the governor does, in the Senate position is increased from 5% to 8% for a 3% increase, but it does not include Minnesota Care. On line 262 is a Senate-only position to limit managed care, limit the average administrative spending for managed care contracts to 7%. It's currently at 8.6%, and this represents general fund savings of $6.8 million. On line 271 on page 6 is delay inpatient hospital rebasing. This governor's recommendation, and the Senate has included it here, as a savings of $9.7 million in 08-09. In line 281 is to reduce inpatient hospital rates by 3%. This is a Senate-only position. It saves $7.2 million in 08-09. On line 290 is a reduction to fee-for-service outpatient hospital rates by 3%, and that saves $369,000. I should also back up and mention, related to 281 and 290, that the traditional exclusions that have been applied to ratable reductions in the past are included in this bill, including mental health, American Indian Health Service, and the like. And then on line 290, the outpatient hospital rates, mental health, and there's American Indian
Health Services.
Indian Health Services are also excluded from that item. On line 299 is a reduction to medical services provider rates by 3%. That's a reduction of $4.5 million in 09. On line 308 is prior authorization of certain services and technologies. General fund savings here of $4.3 million. Small healthcare access fund savings of $1 million. And this item is to accelerate the work that the Health Services Advisory Committee has been doing on prior authorization and to get other services that currently aren't being considered and other technologies to be included in their prior authorization process. On line 317 on page 7 is implement best practices in third-party liability collections for the state, the DHS's health care programs. This is an initiative to direct the department to increase third-party liability collections in the area of insurance and some other areas, and it projects savings of $5 million general fund in fiscal year 09 and $1 million to the healthcare access fund. On line 326 is an item described here as refund of health plan reserves. The idea behind this is, well, there's two parts to this, really. One is the policy of implementing a cap on health plan reserves going forward of 550% risk-based capital ratio. And then also another portion, which is included here, which is to look back at to calendar year 07, identify what plans have a risk-based capital ratio or amounts above the 550% level, and then apply a refund to those reserve amounts and would take 50% of those reserves, and then get the money back to the state through changing the managed care contracts or the money spent on managed care contracts going forward for calendar year, it would be 09, and it would require the health plan companies to they would not receive administrative funding until they've spent their level of reserves down to the cap.
Members, this involves three of our managed care contracts, and we're only imposing the cap on their reserves for that portion of their revenues that come from public programs.
Madam Chair, members, beginning again on line 335 is Governor's initiative to eliminate rebasing and to increase the nursing facility payment rate. Senate is not doing this item. On line 342 is a delay of nursing home rebasing. This basically reduces, or not reduces, it's the equivalent of 3 months of delay, moving it from a July 1 start to an October 1 start.
October is the date that we have for the past few bienniums traditionally given the COLA increase. The COLA increase was given last year in October, and so this item and the next item down on line 367 simply makes the COLA be an annual increase in October as it has historically been.
Madam Chair, members, going to line 349 is the delay of the, this is Governor's item, delay of the long-term care COLA from fiscal year 09 to fiscal year 10. Senate is not doing that item. On line 367 is a Senate-only position, which is to delay the effective date of the long-term care COLA in fiscal year 09 from, and it should read actually, July of 08 to October of 08. And that creates one-time savings of $7.5 million. On page 8, line 385 is a governor's item that reduces fee-for-service pharmacy rates. Senate has not included that item here. On line 392 is the freeze of substance abuse treatment rates recommended by the governor. That's not included in this bill either. On line 398 is the elimination of the inpatient hospital supplemental payments. These are the quarterly payments that are funded with DSH dollars, and this item is not included in the Senate's
Chair.
Bill.
Madam Chair?
Senator Kretner-Solin?
Madam Chair, on the DSH payments, it's come to my attention that these actually haven't even been received, and there is no federal match to them now. Is that correct?
No, the federal dollars are available. I don't know why somebody thinks they haven't been received. We'll have to look into that. I guess there's someone from the department that could speak to this.
Madam Chair, members, the federal approval for these payments hasn't been received, so payment is pending federal approval at this point in time.
And Ms. Julek, when the federal approval is received, would they be paid on a backdated basis?
Yeah, it would be paid for fiscal year 08, and it would be MA payments with a federal share.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prettner-Solin.
Ms. Julek, do you have any idea when these might be coming?
No. I don't know. I think we're in a 90-day waiting period right now, where the feds have 90 days to respond, so within 90 days.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prettner-Solin.
Ms. Julek, do you have any reason to believe we won't receive them?
No. Nothing one way or another.
Madam Chair, members, beginning then again on line 404, is the governor's item to freeze Mindo waiver services and develop new rate system. And the Senate is doing this item, but they're using amended language, which actually results in savings slightly more than the governor in the first year of $450,000. On line 410.
What this language will be is it will be directing the department to amend the Mindo rates so that Mindo can be providing waiver-type services directly through their contract rather than having their clients apply for waiver slots.
Next on line 410 is the governor's item to eliminate transitional medical assistance for children, and the Senate is not doing this item. On line 419, eliminate funding for health care outreach incentive program. That's also not included in the Senate bill. Turning to page 9, line 432 is the governor's initiative to maintain Minnesota Care Adults Without Children at 200% of poverty. That's not included in this bill either. On line 440 is a Senate-only position to reduce DHS grant programs by 1.5%. The grant areas are listed below there.
These are non-forecasted grants.
And it has savings in 09 of $2.9 million. On line 452 is managing home and community-based waiver growth. This is the slot limits proposed by the governor. The Senate has included this, savings of $4.9 million in 08-09. On line 462 is a reduction to the Minnesota sex offender base appropriation of reduction of 4%. This would exclude treatment services, and this would save $2.3 million in 09. On line 467 is governor's initiative to eliminate community-based demonstration projects. So this is a St. Louis County initiative, and the Senate has not included this item. And that concludes the Department of Human Services. On page 10, we'll begin the Department of Health. Line 477 is the governor's recommendation to eliminate the increase for fetal alcohol syndrome grants. That's not included here. Line 482 is to reduce youth tobacco prevention grants. Another governor's initiative not included. On line 487 is to eliminate the increase for lead abatement. Also not included in the Senate bill. On line 492 is the elimination of the positive alternatives program, saving us of $2.4 million in 08-09. On line 497 is small savings related to the elimination of the Menable program of $220,000. On line 502 is reduced supplemental MERC payments by $2 million in 09 and then by $1 million annually in 10 and 11. This will bring these payments down from $6.5 million in 09 to $4 million in 09. On line 507 is the St. Louis County Inspection Delegation item from the governor. This is a SGSR item, which essentially has the Department of Health taking over inspection duties in St. Louis County. And the Senate is doing this item. On line 513 is to reduce MDH general fund grants by 1.5%, similar level to DHS. Savings is $713,000 in fiscal year 09. On line 518 is governor's recommendation for operating budget reduction. This is at the 4% level, $1.1 million in 08-09 and 2.6 in 10 and 11. Then on page 11, we move to the Vets Homes Board. There's a one-time reduction to a one-time spending item that was approved last year of $1 million to Vets Homes Repairs and Betterment Appropriation. Then on line 553 are health board items. On line 537, there's chiropractic board item for contested cases, small amount in fiscal year 08, and then a similar dentistry board item for 08 of $100,000. These are both included in the Senate deficiency bill, but are included here as well. On line 547 is a transfer from the Health Board's SGSR fund of one time of $2 million to the general fund. And finally, on line 554 is the Emergency Medical Services Board, a transfer from the EMS bonus award account on a one-time basis of $3 million to the general fund. And, members, that concludes the spreadsheet.
And members, I'm painfully aware that some of these cuts are coming on top of cuts that were made in 2003 and have not been restored. I hope we all will keep that in mind in the future as we hope to see our economy improve. Are there any questions? If not, then I would accept a motion to adopt the spreadsheet. With the technical corrections of including the governor's items that have been omitted. Senator Lynch makes the motion. Any discussion? Senator Coring.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
I just would like to state for the record one item of specific concern to my area, and that's the 3% reduction in Medicaid payments to hospitals and clinics. I know that constraints that we're working with, and I know that this is an area that I'm sure that our chair and other board members are equally concerned about. But the hospital in my area has the largest percentage of Medicaid payments outside the metro area on a pro rata basis. And I don't know because I don't think there's been time to really determine the extent to which this is going to affect our budget. Local hospitals and clinics in my district. But what we do know is that when we reduce payments for services that are already not meeting, in many cases, the cost of providing those services, that we tend to shift the expenses to the private pay individuals because those costs have to be borne somewhere. And I know that these are difficult choices to make, but at a time when healthcare costs are already as high as they are, I would just like to really encourage us to continue to look as we go forward with this for other ways to plug this hole.
Senator Olson, there are several items in this budget that I will continue to look for ways to either reduce or eliminate the reductions. The request has been for a roll call vote. Ms. Polanski will take the roll.
Madam Chair.
Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, before we take this vote, by voting in the affirmative on this, we're not voicing an affirmative vote does not mean that we believe that these cuts are warranted or with merit. An affirmative vote doesn't mean that I want or agree with the things that appear in this spreadsheet. An affirmative vote today means that we've been charged with a job to do. And at some point in time, and I believe that that time is approaching, it's going to become increasingly clear beyond the people sitting at this table and beyond the people that are sitting in this room that this is not a problem that is new to us. There's a pattern here. You've been through this many a time before. And at some point in time, the people are going to rise up. So an affirmative vote today just means that the people seated at this table have a job and a charge to do. And we sat and looked at this spreadsheet for hours. And we scratched our head and we sharpened our pencils and we had some really tough conversations.
So I'll be voting in the affirmative, but I want to be very clear on what that affirmative vote represents.
I agree, members. We have a responsibility to balance a budget. And it's much nicer, much more pleasant, even though sometimes difficult, to do that when we have revenues available. We don't have revenues available now. We have a deficit. And we are keenly aware of the fact that the governor is not going to make more resources available to help solve the budget deficit. And as a result of that, we have a responsibility to make the best decisions we can under the circumstances. I would not present this spreadsheet to you today if I did not believe it was the best we could do under the circumstances. Not a desirable situation to be in, but it is part of our responsibility that we accepted when we took the job. Senator Cornyn.
Madam Chair, first of all, I want to say thank you to you because in the last 6 years that I've been here, I know that that everything that you do comes from the heart, and that's one of the things that a criteria that I have for if I know somebody's doing something for the right reasons, then I'm instantly that person's friend. I know that you're not doing any of this for political purposes, and the request for roll call in my mind is not for political purposes, at least by this senator, because I think the people that have gotten to know me know that I'm not the gotcha kind of person. I'm not trying to catch somebody in a bad vote. But as the chair knows, I could accept this minus one thing, and then I could vote in the affirmative, and the chair knows that. And there's just one thing in here that is just not acceptable to the people that I represent back home. And so that's why I think that this issue is so important to the people back home that I represent, and they're my boss. I have to answer them. And so I think it's important that we have a roll call vote on this. And I apologize to my Democratic friends on the other side, and you know you're my friends. I'm not trying to catch you in a bad vote. And if I wouldn't have asked for the roll call vote, I'm sure that the lead on this committee, the Republican lead on this committee, Senator Fischbach, would probably have asked for a roll call vote. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Senator Berger.
Thank you, Senator Coring. Any other comments? Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator Coring, for that comment. I just would say to you that there's a number of things in this bill that are not considered in the best interest of the people from my district either. As a matter of fact, there's not much in this bill that I think is in the best interest of anybody in the state of Minnesota. And when we're working in an environment where we're saying that we have to have a budget balancing process occur on the backs primarily of health care and human services, then we're confronted with this situation. So it isn't just the one thing that you may be talking about, but it's a number of things in this bill that are problematic for the people in my district, one of which that Senator Olson talked about, which is the 3% reduction in hospital rates, where they're already paying less, 11% less than the 2001 levels for medical assistance. Our hospital is not able to provide services, and the outcome of that is going to be that they'll begin to find ways where they won't serve those patients. They find ways to not take in the patients who don't have the resources, so they don't have to redistribute the costs to people who are already paying for health insurance or private paying. And we're doing that in an environment where the cost of health care is horrific for people who are paying for their health insurance. So, you know, I struggle with what you're saying because it implies that there is just one thing in this bill that we're struggling with. It's not just one thing. It's many things in this bill that are problematic for us.
But there is a frame around us, an economic problem around us that we're trying to deal with. So I don't want to be framed as sort of accepting what's in this bill by a roll call vote. Now, I know that politically that'll happen somewhere, but that's not what this is about.
Senator Coring, I have a suggestion to make. We could reinstate the governor's recommendation on the pharmacy cuts and then eliminate the cut to the Positive Alternatives Program if you'd like to make that motion. Senator Coring, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I am trying to make a point, however, and the point is that this budget is about tough choices. Making reductions is not easy, and it's about tough choices. I believe we are trying to adopt not an ideal budget here. We are trying to make the best choices we can under the circumstances. And so, Senator Coring, when we take the roll call vote, those who vote for this spreadsheet will be voting not to accept certain cuts that have been recommended to us in favor of other cuts, because we have to make the cuts.
Madam Chair, can I ask, would that, if I would make that motion, would that be enough money to restore the positive alternative grants?
Yes, it would. I'll just have that confirmed by our fiscal analyst here, but would do it.
Madam Chair, I would make that oral amendment.
Senator Coring has moved to amend the budget sheet. Is there any discussion?
Roll call.
Roll call has been requested. The secretary will take the roll.
Senator Berglund.
No.
Senator Lynch.
No.
Senator Erickson Ropes is not here. Senator Fischbach.
Yes.
Senator Coring.
Aye.
Senator Lori.
No.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Pretner Solon.
No.
Senator Rosen.
Aye.
Senator Sharon.
No.
Four yes, five no.
So the motion is defeated on a close vote. We will keep that in mind as we bring these recommendations to Senator Cohen.
Okay.
Madam Any Chair. Further discussion? Senator.
Madam Chair,
Solon.
I know that the Health Care Access Fund is a sacred fund and one that we really use to protect our vulnerable populations and make sure that they can be provided health care. But I'm wondering, when we come to such a situation like we have now and placing further cuts on our hospitals and our providers and that make it more and more difficult for those healthcare entities to survive in a market like we have today, and in which they're, you know, the hospitals now are facing like 14% cuts that they haven't made up. Is it not appropriate to use some of those health care dollars from the Health Care Access Fund to supplement that?
Senator Pretner-Solon, I don't believe it is. I believe that if we are doing that every time we have one of these kind of situations, that we undermine the support for the Health Care Access Fund and the revenue it derives. And I can't hardly say that I blame those out there in the community who distrust us if those are the kind of decisions that we're making.
Madam Chair, especially to the, you know, to the providers too. We haven't made increases in our MA provider payments for, what, a couple decades? And now they're paying the provider fee on top of the MA payment, and now we're cutting
they
them
3%. They collect it for us. They collect it for us. It is passed through by the insurance companies to them. They collect it for us. But even the job of collecting it for us brings with it responsibility on our part. And that responsibility is one that we will use the money as it was intended and that we will not start supplementing the general fund with that money.
Madam Chair, I totally support the concept, as I know you've fought for many years, to keep the integrity of the healthcare access fund intact. But I have concerns where we're paying dollars out of the general funds for things like outreach, and at the same time we're cutting money for medical assistance grants, because it seems to me that we should look harder for ways to pay legitimate healthcare related expenses for low income people. And if we can do that and still maintain the health of the healthcare access fund rather than having that money just carried forward from year to year and avoid these cuts, that's where I think we should be trying taking a closer look at whether it's not possible to do that.
Senator Olson, you know, equally burdened, the providers that have a large share of medical assistance clients, they are equally burdened with the number of uninsured that they have to serve that have bring with them no little or no payment. And the outreach dollars that we have in this bill, or the outreach dollars that the governor was proposing to cut from last session, provide very, very small relief in terms of ameliorating other reductions. But it has a big impact on the number of people insured. And I think we need to keep our commitment to reducing the number of uninsured so that those providers continue to see a decline in the amount of uncompensated care that they have to cover.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm not suggesting that we should withdraw that support. I'm just suggesting that if we were to pay those dollars out of the health care access fund, because if we drive up the cost of private insurance to make up for the reduction in Medicaid payments, we also cause people to no longer be able to afford insurance who are on the edge, and possibly offset the good intent of reaching out to try to bring more people and to have more people covered. And so I guess, again, I'm just suggesting that that's a real concern to me.
Well, Senator, if we can stay on track with health care reform, we will be reducing the amount of costs that people will be spending in terms of their private insurance over what they would have been spending, and I think that's a better direction to go. Any further discussion? Senator Sharon.
May I make a suggestion, and you can advise us whether this might work? Could we split bring $1.2 million from the pharmacy reimbursement and move it over to, you know, to the positive alternatives so that we don't, it's not one or the other, that it's sort of a balance between the two as an alternative to one or the other, if that would be an acceptable proposal to Senator Corning.
I didn't quite hear the whole proposal.
Senator Sharon is proposing that we do half of a pharmacy cut and restore half of the funding to the positive alternatives program.
That still is a deal breaker. But I'm willing to make that.
I'm willing to make that a motion.
Right, Senator Sharon has made that motion.
I'll ask for a roll call.
Senator Olson is asking for a roll call vote. We'll take the roll.
Berglund?
No.
Lynch?
No.
Erickson Ropes is not present. Senator Fischbach?
Yes.
Senator Corn?
Aye.
Senator Laurie? Senator Prettner Solon?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Rosen?
Aye.
And Senator Sharon?
Yes.
The motion prevails. So that adjustment will be made in the spreadsheet. Any further discussion on the motion to adopt the spreadsheet as amended? Seeing none, we will take the roll. Roll call vote on adopting the spreadsheet.
Senator Berglund?
Yes.
Senator Lynch?
Yes.
Senator Fischbach?
No.
Senator Corrin?
No.
Senator Laurie?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Prettner Solon?
Pass.
Yes. Senator Rosen?
No.
Senator Sharon?
Yes.
You can come back to me.
Senator Solon?
Aye.
Okay.
Senator Solon changes her vote from pass to aye. The motion is adopted. We will recess until 6 p.m. and we will be in room 15 so that we can deal with the language portions of the bill.
Aye.
Okay, I was going to give you a note during.